Welcome back to the Dry Fast Podcast and Testimonial. Today is April 19th, Dry Fast, day number 3, morning time, Shabbat Shalom. Lord willing, I will reach a full 14 days of the Dry Fast. That is my intended goal. And I'm so grateful to Yahweh and Yahweh Shai for the inspiration and just the opportunity to do this, as well as be able to share the experience with you. May you and others find the information helpful and find the level of comfort that you need to seek our Lord in this way. Feeling wise this morning, I don't feel good. I'm even more drained and have more of a headache than I did yesterday. Some old feelings of things are coming up that are giving me over to a heavy heart. My body only wants to move slowly now. This is something I always encounter during a dry fast. Usually not this early, but it is what it is. There's just no pep in my step, so to speak. Day 3 has always been one of the hardest days. So things are tracking, and this is an experience that's fairly consistent among other dry fasters that I've encountered. Sleep was surprisingly good. I slept for a full 6-hour block. My gut that I had talked about before is mostly gone at this point. It does still feel like there is the same toxic, acidic mass in there I spoke of. I take it that part of this is stool, and part of it is the Candida hotspot, or colony, source. Although it is weakened, it is still holding on. Parasites in general in the gut do retain and anchor themselves to stool, especially if it is acidic and toxic, like grains and red meat. Fungus more so anchors itself with roots and tendrils into the walls of the intestine, but it still seems like it also has the capacity to grab onto stool, for lack of a better way to explain it. At random times, I do feel like I'm getting an acupuncture treatment done on my foot. By this, I mean pin pricks and needles being driven in. It's not as painful as it sounds, but sometimes are more painful than others. However, all cases are fleeting. They don't last more than a few seconds. I've come to understand this now as different energy meridians within the body being cleared and reactivated. The same is also true if those meridians are being clogged and shut down. Although I do not see an acupuncturist anymore, if you can find a good one, especially one that has familiarity with dealing with parasite cases, you will probably find the treatment to be very helpful in symptom management. Ultimately, I think acupuncture is more of a patch for issues that at their core require spiritual change, fasting, liver flushing, and other forms of internally oriented detoxing to fully heal, as well as lifestyle changes. And by that, I mean dietary and gratitude in general, and exhibiting fruits of the spirit when interacting with other people. Patience, mercy, forgiveness, humility, meekness, kindness, and so forth. That all being said, I still prefer acupuncture to Western medicine, so I'm not knocking acupuncture. It has its valuable place. I have a very itchy scalp, which I take it as fungal and mold die-off in the cranial area. Although I do not have dandruff. I've had dandruff in the past on my face and in my beard area. And what I've come to understand dandruff as is acidic waste from parasites like Candida and fungus being pushed through the skin. What it is not is flakes of skin, as Edams, Western medical system meaning pit, would lead you to believe. Check out curezone.org for more information on that, or rawfigs.com, which is a searchable database of Robert Morse's YouTube videos. Some things I think he's right on the money about, like terrain theory over germ theory, and acidosis of the body leading to disease, and acidosis being caused by poor dietary habits and negative emotions, among other things. On other things, I disagree and think he's off on, like long-term fruit diets being the best thing for all cases, and that huge amounts of toxins are excreted in the urine as opposed to what I now understand exit via the lungs and breath and liver and stool. He also throws up a lot of 666 signs in his videos, so take that into consideration as well. My knee joints are starting to ache. I've had a weakness and corresponding stagnation in that area for a while now, which manifests itself as cracking of the joint, as well as being easy to twist and pull. So, presumably, the weakness there is being addressed now on day 3 of the dry fast. And that mirrors experiences that I've had in the past on extended dry fasts. For example, I had an old tennis elbow injury that stuck with me for over a decade that started aching out of the blue towards the end of a longer dry fast, and then it went away for good. To heal old injuries, the pain will come back up as the body breaks down whatever temporary emergency measures it put in place at the time that were never meant to be permanent fixes, but it was the best that the body could do at that time with the resources that it had and the environment that it had. During the dry fast, the body now has a lot more energy that it doesn't need to use metabolizing and excreting toxins, and it has a much more toxin-free environment in which to work and heal with. A note on exercise. I don't exercise very much during dry fasts. I do recommend light, but brief calisthenics. I do handstands as well as stretching, a lot of stretching. And I do other movements akin to light jump roping. And this is to help with the manual circulation of lymph, as well as shift blood to different areas that may not normally have a lot of circulation. The lymph system, especially if you're not fully detoxed out, and very few people are, other than children at a very young age, but they're very soon vaccinated. But barring perfect health, the lymph system does rely on manual movement in order to drain properly. And if the body is heavily filled with toxins, then the blood relies on a degree of manual movement in order to fully circulate throughout the body. So, for instance, if you're balding on the top of your head, then you're not getting adequate circulation to that area, such that the follicles of the hair are not receiving the nutrients that they need, and so they're dying out. Now, the reason why the circulation is not reaching those particular follicles is because there is a stagnation consisting of parasites and toxins preventing the blood from getting to where it needs to be in those follicles. Some dry fasters say that heavy exercise helps. Okay, maybe on a short-term dry fast you can get away with that, but I am not one of those people. People that do much longer-term dry fasting will generally be on the same page with me as that. My train of thought is in line with the scriptures, even outside of dry fasting, such that physical exercise profits little. That's 1 Timothy 4. In my view, repentance prayer will do far more good for one's health rather than going to the gym. So if you have time to go to the gym, use that for time for sincere repentance prayer. And I say this as being a person that was all about going to the gym 5 days a week and working out, and I did see results from it and had a lot of muscle gains, but I believe that that was more related to the weightlifting and the strenuous movements forcing toxicity and stagnation out of the muscles such that those muscles were now better able to grow in absence of that toxicity. Which is why I've seen similar results just from stretching. I've seen muscle growth just from stretching out muscles and manually removing those toxins that are in the area. And again, if you are, and I've seen it before, if you're one of those people that have like a very clean system internally and near perfect health, and you're probably a very virtuous person, then you really don't need to spend any time in the gym to have a very strong physique. It's a very interesting topic. It kind of flips the whole idea of weight training and personal training in general on its head. And perhaps it's a topic I'll go into more detail at some point in the future. I've done heavy exercise in the past during dry fasts, and I feel like it just made me more tired without providing a whole lot of benefit. And now I'm just at a place where I don't want my body to use its energy metabolizing the lactic acid generated from said heavy exercise. I had a change to my schedule, or a potential change in my schedule, such that I may not be able to continue the dry fast past 7 days. I'm a bit frustrated about this monkey wrench, but at the same time, I'm unsure of what exactly I'll have to do in this case. Surrounding that, I am starting to have intrusive thoughts latching on to that idea, such as, oh, 7 days is enough. It can't be helped. Why are you torturing yourself anyway? This is the train of thought that I've struggled with in the past and has stopped me from getting into the teens, 13, 14 day-long dry fasts before. I think this is the point where having a strong enough motivation for doing the dry fast becomes very important. And I think that because this time around, I'm not doing the dry fast for myself, but out of gratitude and appreciation for what Yahweh and Yahweh Shai have done for me, I believe that will make all the difference. Whereas in the past, I was doing the dry fast really more so for myself and to heal myself, and in some cases, almost using it as a bargaining chip with the Lord, like having the mentality that I'm doing this fast so that you'll heal me. And that line of thinking no longer resonates with me. It just comes across to me as being selfish and really not very respectful in my relationship with the Most High. So I hope that sharing this experience is helpful to you. I'm very grateful to be able to share it, and I'm glad that you're taking the time to listen. May the Most High bless you and continue to guide you in your walk. Thank you for joining me here on the Dry Fast Podcast, and it will be my privilege and pleasure to speak with you in the next one.